You're listening to CIOI, The Hawk 101.5 FM in Hamilton, Ontario.
It's a beautiful day in this neighborhood, a beautiful day for a neighbor. Would you be mine? Could you be mine? It's a neighborly day in this beauty wood, a neighborly day for a beauty. Would you be mine? Could you be mine? I have always wanted to have a neighbor just like you. I've always wanted to live in a neighborhood with you. So let's make the most of this beautiful day. Since we're together, we might as well say, would you be mine? Could you be mine? Won't you be my neighbor? Won't you please? Won't you please? Please, won't you be my neighbor?
And hello, neighbors. Hey, everybody. Once again, this is Mark.
Neighbor. I'm glad we're together again.
I am too. Thanks, Fred. Yes, it's Mark. This is the Soundtrack Show right here on The Hawk. So thank you for tuning in once again. And if you didn't quite get that or you've never heard me before, the Soundtrack Show, we play for the next hour or so, we'll be playing music from, normally we do movies and TV. Tonight we're doing only TV, and specifically, tonight we are only doing music from cartoons. So it's all animated tonight, wall-to-wall animation domination right here on The Hawk. That's what we're doing. If you are feeling nostalgic and you have a song, the theme song that you think you'd really like to hear and you haven't heard in 20, 30 years, there's a good chance I have it, and I would love to play it for you. Just give me a shout at 905-575-1628. That is the number here in the out-of-control room. Sorry, a morning zoo moment for a second. And I will be happy to play that for you. That's kind of what we're doing all tonight. So off the top there, you heard from the theme from Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. I'm reminded of this because I saw the Tom Hanks, It's a Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood movie a few weeks ago. And I really enjoyed it. And it's not specifically about Mr. Rogers. It's more about a cynical, grizzled kind of a dick of a man who is a... He's a magazine reporter, and he's assigned to do a profile on Mr. Rogers. And Mr. Rogers basically turns him into a happy, fun, nice person. And it sounds, I can totally see that. I really did not like Mr. Rogers growing up. I was not really interested in him. And, you know, if it's a choice between Mr. Rogers and Bugs Bunny or Sesame Street or later on G.I. Joe, Mr. Rogers lost. Sorry, Fred, but that's how it works. And I found later on in life, actually I read something he wrote after 9/11 about how to talk to your kids about tragedy. And I went back and saw some of the old videos. It's him talking about the assassination of RFK, Bobby Kennedy, tragedy, war, all the things that just drive you insane on the air, on TV. And he talked about it and didn't believe in dumbing things down for your kids, just only answering specific questions that they asked of you so as not to traumatize them. And I thought that was a very interesting attempt. It's a very interesting way to deal with it. And so I had renewed respect for him for that. And that movie is fantastic. Tom Hanks does a great job. Who could you have gotten as Mr. Rogers, really? I mean, Tom Hanks is kind of looks the part. He's also the most loved guy in Hollywood. Although it would have been interesting if they had like Brad Dourif from Chucky or The Rock as Mr. Rogers. That would have been an interesting casting choice. I would have watched it. I'm not sure I would have loved it, but it would have been interesting. Anyway, we are going to wall-to-wall cartoons and play one of my favorites. I mentioned that now. And it's a TV show that introduced the phrase... And knowing is half the battle. course, you all know it. Let's get it on. Yo, Joe. It would be really helpful if this thing were turned on.
Yo, Joe!
Yeah, what he said.
We'll fight for freedom wherever there's trouble. G.I. Joe is there. G.I. Joe,
G.I. Joe is there.
G.I. Joe against Cobra the enemy, fighting to save the day. He never gives up, he's always there, fighting for freedom over land and air. G.I.
American Joe! G.I. Joe!
G.I. Joe is the code name for America's daring, highly trained special mission force. Its purpose? To defend human freedom against Cobra, a ruthless terrorist organization determined to rule the world.
He never gives up. He'll stay till the fight's won. G.I. Joe will dare. G.I. Joe.
G.I. Joe.
The Transformers, more than meets the eye. Autobots wage their battle to destroy the
As a radio show concept, this thing is a little bit difficult to manage just because these things are so short. So here's the background. When we're playing music, there's a log file we have to keep track of the music that we play. So normally during an hour, I'll play 20, 22 songs. That's an average of maybe 3 or 4 minutes apiece. And with something like TV themes and cartoon themes, they're only 30 seconds to a minute long. So that can be up to 50 songs. So I play this song, I go to the computer and punch into Excel, and then go back and play the next song and continue onward. So it's a little bit tricky either way. This one was actually a fairly big hit, spawned a couple of really bad movies, one of which was featuring one of my favorite actors, Matthew Broderick, in the title role. And it's also a big earworm. So I apologize in advance if you're hearing this in your head for the next few days. What else could this be? And Canadian, too.
Sensational, inspirational, celebrational, validational. This is what
who could resist? Who could forget the Muppet Show theme? Different every week because they always had Kermit saying the name of the guest host. Very much like Saturday Night Live. Anyway, that was Muppet Show. And coming up next, we have this one, a request off of Facebook. Thank you, Jen. Appreciate that. It's a TV theme from the Banana Splits show, which was a popular kids cartoon show, puppets, and it's just a general acid trip, as most kids shows from the 60s are. And it's the Banana Splits, Tra-La-La. And that's the one. Everybody's favorite Spider-Man theme from the original cartoon, 1966. Up next, we're going to continue with the superhero show thing for a little bit. And if you're a child of the 70s, as I am, you'll know this one.
In the Great Hall of the Justice League, there are assembled the world's four greatest heroes, created from the cosmic legends of the universe. Superman. Wonder Woman. Batman. Aquaman. And those three junior super friends, Wendy, Marvin, and Wonder Dog. Their mission, to fight injustice, to right that which is wrong, and to serve all mankind.
Mr. Trouble never hangs around when he hears this mighty sound.
Come to save the day.
That means that Mighty Mouse is on the way. Yes, sir, when there is a wrong to right, Mighty Mouse will join the fight. On the sea or on the land, he gets the situation well in hand.
So though we are in danger, we never despair, 'cause we know that where there's danger, he is there.
He is there, on the land, on the sea, in the air. We're not worrying at all,
we're just listening for his call.
Here I come to save the day.
That means that Mighty Mouse is on the way. Listening for his call.
Here I come to save the day.
That means that Mighty Mouse is on the way.
Now, if you're a kid of the 70s, early 80s, as I was, as I mentioned, because I'm an old fart, you know this one. If you maybe got, this is what I have, this is what I remember. Weekdays, 6 or 7 o'clock in the morning, I would wake up invariably before my parents would, and go and turn on the TV, and I believe it was on City TV, channel 79 back in the day, and if you could catch it early on, and it was this, it was the 30th century take on The Legend of Robin Hood.
Come gather around me, space travelers surround me, hark now to the ballad of Robin Hood. I may well confound you, astound you, spellbound you with heroes and villains, the bad and the good. Watch now as our rockets race here from afar, for now with our Robin we live on a star.
3, 2, 1, blast off! Band of brothers marching together, heads held high in all kinds of weather. With fiery blast our roaring rockets rise beyond the earth, beyond the skies. At the side of Robin take your stand, with the gallant fear of the band. Send a joyous shout throughout the land for Rockin' Robin Hood.
Robin Hood of mystery, champion of right, swoops out of the shadows, darkening of the night. Somewhere some villain schemes, but his number's a 3, 2, 1.
A little more modern. It's a Disney Channel's version of Darkwing Duck. And apparently they're coming out with that one. They're reviving some of these 90s ones, including this next one, which is one of the... lost my train of thought there. It ran me over, actually. In the early 90s, late 80s, early 90s, there was a revival of the Looney Tunes. And so Bugs Bunny and Foghorn Leghorn and everybody. And they became popular for a little while. So then they had the Tiny Toons Adventures, which were supposed to be the kid versions or the protege versions of the original Looney Tunes characters, Bugs and Daffy and whatnot. And then, after that finished, the Animaniacs came in, which is one of the funniest things you've seen on TV in cartoon form. And I always love the fact that they would not dumb things down for kids. In fact, they would throw jokes in there that only adults would get. I remember the first episode, the three characters are in school. And the teacher looks at the camera and says, "Oh, I can't." It's almost as bad as when she had some Red Fox or somebody in the class. Which, I mean, that makes no sense. No kid's going to know who Red Fox is, let alone are they going to know the records. I do, but my parents were weird that way. Without further ado, Yakko, Wakko, and Dot.
It's time for anime So just sit back and relax. You'll laugh when you collapse. We're Animaniacs. Come join the Warner Brothers
and the Warner Sister Dot.
Just for fun, we run around the Warner movie lot. They lock us in the tower whenever we get caught. But we break loose and bend the moose, and now you know the plot. We're Animaniacs. Dog is cute and Yakko yaks. Wacko packs away the snacks while the Clayton plays the sax. We're Animaniacs. Meet Pinky and the Brain, who wants to rule the universe. Put feathers flock together, Slappy whacks them with her purse. Button chases Mindy while Rita sings a verse. The writer's script, we had no script, my father to rehearse. We're Animaniacs. We have pay or play contracts. We're zany to the max, there's baloney in our slacks. We're Animani, totally insane. Cockamamie.
Yes, Pinky and the Brain. One is a genius, the other's insane. In laboratory mice, their genes have been spliced. They're Pinky and the Brain, 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 Brain. Before each night is done, their plan will be unfurled by the dawning of the sun. They'll take over the world. Is done. Their plan will be unfurled by the dawning of the sun. They'll take over the world. They're Pinky and the Brain. Yes, Pinky and the Brain. Their twilight campaign is easy to explain. To prove their mousy worth, they'll overthrow the earth. They're Dinky, they're Pinky and the Brain. Brain, 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 Brain.
Narf! Narf! Of course, it's Pinky and the Brain. Around the same time, in 1991-92, there was another cartoon that came up. It was popular. Actually, it had three seasons, and was all based on a trilogy starting in 1985. The year 1985, when we all learned that if you wanted to build a time machine and a new car, you had to do it with some style and build it into DeLorean. Now, this is not the Back to the Future cartoon theme exactly, because they covered and made it down to a minute long of this tune, which is I'm playing the original. So this is Huey Lewis in the News, Back in Time, from the Back to the Future cartoon. Please don't drive me so thankful I found a longer copy of the Power Rangers theme. Wow. Yeah, the other reason why it's not good to have radio show full of 30-second songs is because if you have to run to the bathroom real quick, it's hard to do what you need to in 30 seconds. But a 5-minute song, that's different. That's what they made them for. So yeah, that's what used to happen late at night. If you heard Stairway to Heaven on the radio, chances are DJ had to go to the bathroom. That's what that is. Sorry to ruin that for you all. Okay. Staying in the, this is in the late, 90 or 91. Now, superhero movies, if you recall, were really terrible until about 1989. And so if you ever had the chance to see the, especially the Marvel ones were horrible. But basically you had Superman 1, which is amazing. 2 was pretty good. 3 was all right, if you liked Richard Pryor, which I did. 4 was not good. And then, except that you saw John Cryer in there, which now John Cryer's in the Supergirl TV show as Lex Luthor. Never saw that one coming. Now, after Superman, you had a string of direct-to-video Marvel movies. The Punisher with Dolph Lundgren, which was terrible. Actually, it wouldn't have been too bad if they didn't call it The Punisher, because it had nothing to do with the Frank Castle in the movies. The Thomas Jane movie was fantastic. I love that one, but just I wasn't there. But yeah, The Punisher, you had Captain America, which was horrible. The first Avenger, he was thankfully not. And you can find it if you download it. I think it might even be on YouTube. But if you have an hour and a half to waste and you're curious, Roger Corman, the B-movie, king of B-movies, in the 80s had the rights to do a Fantastic Four movie, and it is far from fantastic. Although they did a pretty good job with the guy who played the Thing. I'll give them that, but it was, he shot a Fantastic Four movie for like $3 million. And it looks like it. So there's that. Anyway, 1989 was the year of the Bat. That's the one where the Michael Keaton Batman movie came out. Changed all the rules. Realized these movies make a ton of money if you put half a cent into it. So from several years beyond that, the Batman movies were among the most expensive films to produce. And then Terminator 2, and then several on beyond that. But that's how that worked. So after Batman hit, suddenly superhero properties were big. And they figured they should do a Batman cartoon again, which was a far cry from the Super Friends. And that's what they did. And they started off the Batman the Animated Series. That was the original series that came out after the Batman movie, the first one. So not really based on, but loosely connected because the imagery is very similar, very Art Deco. It looks like the 1930s or 1940s Superman cartoons. And then there was they did Batman the Animated Series. They did a second one called The Adventures of Batman and Robin. They did a third one, which was Batman, Robin, and Batgirl. And then they did a Superman cartoon. And that lasted for a couple of years. And then they did Justice League, and then Justice League Unlimited. And they all have the same Art Deco feel. It's all very new, old-fashioned kind of, if you want to think 40s cyberpunk, that kind of fits, I guess. But they all followed the same theme, and they held that thing for like 15 years. Every now and then you still see an animated movie. There's a Warner Brothers cartoon. Animated movies are fantastic. I just watched one called Superman the Red Sun, and it's what happened if baby Clark Kent landed in Soviet Union in the 40s. And then he grew up as a property of the state, and then eventually the premier. It's very interesting. Without further ado, the original theme from Batman the Animated Series. This is the soundtrack show on The Hawk.
Looking for you, Scooby Scooby Doo, where are you?
Over here.
All the stars are here, waiting for you. Couldn't have a show without you, Scooby.
Thundercats. Ho, oh, or was it Lightning Dogs? I'm never sure. I do a couple of old anime series. Now, the anime series that people remember from back in the day, the big early one was probably Speed Racer in the late 60s, followed very soon after that by Astro Boy, both of which they were made really terrible movies of. And the one that apparently they're doing a movie of, I'm curious to see, I'm looking forward to it, is the original, it was called, originally called Gatchaman, the Science Ninja Team Gatchaman. And if you know anything about anime, or old anime, you know, that was translated kind of horribly. And they edited it out, it was very violent in the Japanese one. But they made it more of a kid's show, and it was called Battle of the Planets over here. And this is the theme for this one.
G-Force, five incredible young people with superpowers. And watching over them from Center Neptune, Seven Zark Seven. Watching, warning against surprise attack by alien galaxies from beyond space.
young orphans, protecting Earth's entire galaxy. Always five, acting as one. Dedicated, inseparable, invincible.
They call him Flipper, Flipper, faster than lightning. No one you see is smarter than he. And we know Flipper lives in a world full of wonder, flying there under, under the sea. Everyone loves the king of the sea. Never so kind and gentle is he. Tricks he will do when children are near, and how they laugh when he's near. They call him Flipper, Flipper, faster than lightning. No one you see is smarter than he. And we know Flipper lives in a world full of wonder, flying there under, under the sea.
Hey, you guys!
They now live in a new world. They now live in a new world.
Electric Company, which actually had the first on-screen live-action Spider-Man on television. And the really terrible bits they did right toward the end of the show. You wait the whole thing, and then Spider-Man just throws a web on some guy, and it's really not interesting at all. But if you're 4 or 5, it's pretty cool. Speaking of being 4 or 5, now if you were a kid in the early 80s, you know what can happen to the Earth and the Moon if a rogue planet enters between the orbits of Earth and the Moon. You get a hero like Thundar the Barbarian.
Thundar the Barbarian! The year 1994. From out of space comes a runaway planet hurtling between the Earth and the Moon, unleashing cosmic destruction. Man's civilization is cast in ruin. 2,000 years later, Earth is reborn. A strange new world rises from the old. A world of savagery, super science, and sorcery. But one man bursts his bonds to fight for justice. With his companions, Ookla the Mock and Princess Ariel, he pits his strength, his courage, and his fabulous sun sword against the forces of evil. He is Thundar.
He-Man, 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 He-Man. We'll be right back.
want to, cause saving our planet is the thing to do. Looting and polluting is not the way. Hear what Captain Planet has to say.
The power is yours.
Turtle Power, yay, TMNT, the Ninja Turtles, which took a really, really awesome dark comic book, an even cooler role-playing game, if you're into that sort of thing, and made them into a sappy, toy-driven, kids' sugary cereal-driven cartoon, which had its moments, but, you know, is a bit much. And sucked if you're a big fan of it. By the way, if you have Netflix, check out, there's a show called The Toys of Our Lives, and each episode they do a segment on the toys that made us. That's what it's called. And it does a segment on, or each episode is a different line of toys. And the one on the Ninja Turtles is really fascinating. It's really cool because it talks about the creative process and how they went from comic book to cartoon to movies to the toys and everything in between. And it's a lot of fun. Here's one going back. It was actually the theme from a movie, a series of movies, featuring one Inspector Clouseau, his assistant Kato, and a diamond called the Pink Panther. And then later on, it was just the Pink Panther. Henry Mancini, one of the best themes ever.
I'm a fighter, I'm a man. I'm going to save the mask. I'm strong to the finish because I speak Finnish. I'm hot like a sailboat. I'm one of gazookas which hates all palookas, which hates a knee up and square up. Why biffs and I bops them and always outruffs them, but none of them gets nowhere. If anyone dashes to risk me fist, it's pop and it's wham, understand? So keep good behavior, that's your one lifesaver, with Popeye the Sailor Man. I'm Popeye the Sailor Man. Popeye the Sailor Man. I'm strong to the finish, cause I eat me spinach. I'm Popeye the Sailor Man.
I think that's the oldest thing I have been or will play tonight, and that goes back to, I think it's the 30s, with one of the first cartoons. I think the shorts they used to play at the beginning of movies in theaters, way, way, way back when. Same time as when Disney started with early Mickey Mouse stuff. So there's your history lesson. And Popeye was a sailor man before he was a chicken chain, and pretty darn good chicken, or a health food store. So there you go. Now you know. Eat your spinach. Instrument is that? I could have done that. That was, if you didn't know this one or you were born since 1968 or 67, that was The Adventures of Rocky and Bullwinkle. Of course, Bullwinkle was the moose and Rocky was the flying squirrel. But I'd like to meet you. I'd like you to meet somebody else.
Thank you.